Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Get back.
Yeah. Never miss a minute.
Download the Todd and Tyler podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify.
And stream the show 24/7 at TNTRadioEmpire.com.
Do that. You can listen anywhere in the world. Welcome. What was your first name? Checked in earlier. Lives in Albuquerque.
Sonia.
She's been listening for a long time, but we did not know that. And she listens via the web, and podcast permanently. So thank you. She lives in Albuquerque.
So the bosses are glad to hear the finding the show by accident marketing technique is still effective.
Yeah, usually most of our podcasters, and not all of them, but a lot of our podcasters came from Wichita, Lincoln, Omaha, and some other cities we were on before they went country or something like that.
Yeah. Finding the show by accident as a marketing technique effective, it's very inexpensive.
It is.
They spent exactly $0 on that.
Yeah,
that keeps our underground cred up.
Yeah, good point. Good
we don't want to go too mainstream.
Right.
Sell out.
Right.
Yeah, I hate to be on a bunch of radio stations. That's too much pressure.
Well, you can listen anywhere on the podcast, and people do.
There's a story out of Oregon. Actually, a couple hours outside of Portland, cops say they were called about a hit and run. They tracked down a white Ford Explorer, and after pulling it over, quote, observed the driver to be highly intoxicated.
I am them.
Cops say Nathan Danzuka fled in the Explorer, and a short pursuit began until he crashed into a concrete barrier about a half a mile from the initial stop.
That's pretty short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You made it a half mile, though.
That'll stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah. His blood alcohol content was 0.77.
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
All right. What band do you play for? What the hell? Is that
how are you
allowed?
Functioning?
I mean, can you live?
He's got to have a hardcore drinking problem.
Right.
More than 9 times the legal limit.
The highest one I've ever read is some guy in Belgium, I think.
Yeah, I remember the story.
Had like a 0.9, almost 1% of his blood consisted of alcohol. But yeah. Normally you hear people dying of alcohol poisoning.
A lot less than that.
At 0.4 or above.
Yeah. How'd this guy drive a half mile? Of course, like you said.
Not well.
The guy drank a bottle of vodka every couple minutes, usually probably. Every day, probably did.
Charges are pending for the 28-year-old.
How do you fight that?
Man.
You know what? I'm going to question that blower there. Okay, well, say you were half that drunk. See, that's still way above it.
Your Honor, I was only 4.5 times above the legal limit. Not 9.
We're instructed to show up with about 0.3, and then you'll go show the judge you can still drive at 0.3.
I wonder how long a guy that's 7'7 would have to go before he's below alcohol level. 2-3 days, probably.
Oh, days.
Yeah. Well, we've often advocated that should be part of the driving test.
Right. Get you drunk, see if you can drive.
Well, to see what your tolerance level actually is.
Give you a handicap.
That's never caught on.
Because if you go,
it's going to be a tough sell.
Let's see.
Over the years, it's become tougher too. By the way,
well, I'm going to go take my 0.20 test, and then you drive at 0.20, and then if you pass the test, then that's your tolerance level.
Yeah, this says anything over 0.4 could be fatal.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So 0.77, my God.
Yeah, I believe Doc Ed has often pointed out that that is not compatible with life.
Right.
Being the guy that had to administer the test for the drunk driving, to establish the scale, that'd be a horrible job.
Yeah, lay your head down here and blow into this thing. That's just stuck to the table.
No, you're
all right. I'll write it, Dom.
Yeah. Are you talking about the guy who has to give the driver's test to drunk people?
Yeah, right, right, yeah, right. The guy in the passenger seat. Yeah, right. From like the DMV.
Yeah. Right, yeah, because I'm doing a .30 with this guy today.
He's over there in a Hans device.
Right. And I might not come back.
You got a roll cage and a Hans device.
Well, okay, so I'm looking at a table here.
You're right. It should be like on a test track.
Right.
I'm looking at
with
a table.
With all those safety devices.
And a car
devices.
Doesn't go that fast either.
Yep.
The number of drinks you would have in an hour at a certain weight of a person, male and female, to get to...
Food or not?
That's not figured into this.
All right.
But just in 1 hour, a male...
Say a guy's 200 pounds.
Say 200 pounds. If he and this is as far as it goes up,
right.
Is to 10 drinks in 1 hour, a 200-pound male would only get to 0.2.
10 drinks in 1 hour, 200 pounds. 0.2? Yeah.
That's what it says here on this table.
10 beers in 1 hour. 0.2.
At a 200-pound male.
That doesn't sound...
Now, keep in mind, he's not saying 0.02.
Oh, that's right.
2.0.
Oh.
0.20.
0.20.
Right.
Yeah. Which I know is...
Oh, that's big. You're right. That sounds right then, right. Yeah.
That this is, guy was 0.77.
This guy's 0.77.
Yeah, that's Phoenix Airport drunk.
Right.
0.20.
Oh, I've definitely been 0.20 in my life.
This little chart that I'm looking at, the highest you can even get on this chart would be to be a 100-pound female who has had 10 drinks in 1 hour.
I know her. I dated her.
I've seen that.
She wasn't 100.
She would go, yeah. She's probably about 100, yeah.
And this says you would be at a 100-pound female, 10 drinks in 1 hour would be 0.51.
Yeah.
So you're still not to 0.77.
And she'd slap me for
right.
No reason.
Go Huskers.
Okay, she might have been 110, but she wasn't big.
So that, I mean, you are doing some serious work to get to
0.77. She did it.
Yeah,
7.7 is ridiculous. That's,
completely.
I don't know how he lived. Obviously, he's an experienced alcoholic. And he's probably,
at 26 or 7.
Right.
Yeah, along this chart, it says that at 0.35, your blood alcohol level happens to be the level of surgical anesthesia.
Wow.
I love the fact that he said,
stop breathing.
I got to go somewhere over my keys.
At what? What's the number?
At 0.35.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think you fight that. I think you throw yourself at the mercy to court and go to rehab right away because you're not, like you said, what you're going to say. No, I was not near that drunk. Okay, we'll say you're not near that drunk. You're still 0.35. 3-0.
It's even more troubling.
Right.
And kiss your license goodbye for 10 years, probably.
Oh, that kind of
at least.
Yeah, you just have to stand up.
And he's
like,
lucky, lucky he's not dead or, more importantly, killed somebody else.
And he's lucky they don't use alcohol for anesthesia in a surgery. Because if they gave him like a 0.40, he'd wake up in the middle of getting his guts cut. That would be horrible.
Good point.
What are you guys doing?
What do you prefer? I prefer a Manhattan, please, in the hospital. They put you down with a Manhattan in your arm. Where's the cherry go? In my mouth.
I just got off the phone. What are we talking about?
You didn't miss that.
Hey, was this guy, like, functioning?
Well,
he was driving.
He drove a half mile.
He was driving.
He drove before he got pulled over, too, so.
He had to be functioning enough to get in the vehicle.
Yeah, there were some motor skills activated.
Yeah.
They did say that he was, that just by pulling him over and, you know, when they caught him, he was highly intoxicated.
But was he able to make words? Did he have a guy with him to say,
no,
help me make some words?
His friend was more drunk.
Yeah.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle.
Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Simpsons are making good on their promise to no longer have white actors voice non-white characters. A representative for Fox told People that Sunday was Harry Shearer's last episode voicing Dr. Julius Hibbert.
I don't watch The Simpsons. Oh. Was that a black guy?
Yeah, black doctor.
He's the doctor. Yeah. Okay. He giggles at everything.
Okay, all right.
That guy.
He played the part for 30 years. All right. Starting next week, Kevin Michael Richardson will take on the role of Dr. Julius Hibbert.
And just imitate how Harry Shearer did it, right?
I guess.
You know, you want the same voice, you know?
It's amazing that show's still on.
In those years, the voices have changed. And if you compare, you know, the voices now to the voices back in the day, they're completely different.
Well, I'm pretty sure that they had that Cleveland is being voiced by a different guy on The Family Guy now.
It's
and
a black guy. Yeah.
I haven't noticed.
No, he's very good.
I haven't noticed.
He sounds like whoever used to do it before.
He was just in this week's episode, it sounded like Cleveland.
A lot. Yeah. I remember the original, when there were two Barneys on Flintstone, and when that changed, you could tell. Only because I think the original Barney died, you know.
Oh.
I think, remember, the first time I ever watching cartoons and hearing a different voice was there were two Barneys, you know. But that was only because one dude died.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they recast Meg on Family Guy, that was noticeable.
Yeah, that's right.
That one
that's
season.
Right, yeah. Oh, they did. That's right.
Yeah. Lacey Chabert.
Yeah.
Why didn't Mila Kunis do it?
Why did she do it that one
I
year?
Forget.
She loves that gig.
It was one of the really early seasons. It was two or three or something. And then she was out, and then they went, okay, yeah, we need you back. I forget how it all went down.
I do remember that, but I forgot why.
Was it Mel Blanc? He was the famous cartoon voice. He voiced a lot of stuff. And I think he voiced Barney, and then he died, and someone took his place.
I think so.
Yeah, I remember seeing that dude's name on like every cartoon.
Yeah, he did. Yes. Yeah. Well, Brian's not a real dog and Family Guy. Why can't he? That's what you'll hear from the All Lives Matter crowd.
But Brian is a white dog,
yeah, he is
and
a white
so
dog, yeah.
Seth MacFarlane can voice him.
Good point.
But I've heard some comical takes on that, too.
Yeah.
We're going to have our real paraplegic voice, Joe.
Yeah. No. No. I get that. But no, I don't think that's where you have to go with that. We're talking about racial stereotypes and cultural appropriation, not wheelchairs.
Yeah, I don't think these people are serious.
I hope not.
Giving you extreme examples.
Yeah. I was literally like, what's next? I don't know, something that's not going to affect your life either?
Yeah.
Fine.
That's exactly right. Now, it would have sucked for one of these guys making it. I mean, Harry Shearer does a bunch of voices. I get it, so he's fine. But it would suck to be a guy on a TV show like that where they're signing you up every year and you're making major cash and they got to dump you because you're not the right color or not the color of the character. And that was your only character on that show.
Yeah.
And that came that came with a couple $100,000 paycheck or something like that.
Yeah.
That I'd feel bad for that guy, and rightly so, you know. But you're right, it doesn't really affect your life. Just that guy it would.
Well, yeah, unlike an individual basis.
Yeah. Like I said, majority of these shows have, you know. It still amazes me how Seth MacFarlane is so good, how he can do so many. I mean, he does Quagmire and he does Peter. And when I realize he's not doing those back-to-back in the studio with each other, but they don't sound anything alike. You know, he's amazing.
No.
He's really amazing.
Yeah, that's such a singular talent. I've never been able to do. I can't even do an accent, let alone.
Right, right.
You know. We know.
Yeah.
Right.
Apparently, Lacey Chabert was Meg for season one.
Got it.
And then they brought in Mila Kunis since then.
Oh, okay.
I thought Mila did it first and then came back.
Yeah, we didn't bring you on board, Nick, for your variety of voices.
No, first of all,
I would punch you.
I would punch you.
That'd be even more messed up in the office. The door just opens. Pow! What was that for?
Stop the voices. I did see, it was great that it was, I think it was Norm MacDonald tweeted out a real nice compliment to our buddy Frank Caliendo.
Yeah, he did.
And his tweet was basically, in general, impressionists are not funny, never have been. The only exception being Frank Caliendo, who actually not only a great impressionist, is a very, very funny man.
Yeah, he's got material. Right.
And
to go along with,
he's a funny guy. And Frank said, "You don't know how much this means to me." It was a great retweet.
Yeah, but anymore, you got to nail the impression
and be funny.
And have material behind it.
Yeah.
Right.
Not just say words in that guy's voice.
Right. In the old days, that worked, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to suck for every other impressionist.
I know.
Everybody's not funny except for, it's Caliendo.
Exactly. Especially coming from Norm MacDonald, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Puss and I aren't Facebook friends, but we were involved in a Bugs Bunny discussion on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Therein lies the pandemic, huh?
Yeah.
One of the greatest actors ever.
Yeah.
Things are great.
I was confused on which Bugs Bunny at the Opera episode it was, and Todd corrected me, and
Yeah, because the other guy said,
I thought it was more like the
he heard some
Wayne and Garth when Garth says, she's kind of pretty with her lipstick on, I feel funny.
No, it's more how kids learn classical music from cartoons.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he said he recognized a certain tune from, that's from a cartoon.
Yeah.
It was a piece of classical music.
I cited the Kill the Wabbit episode, right. And Todd corrected me. No, that was a different one.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's from What's Opera, Doc? And that is Wagner's.
I wouldn't have bored to get on that.
Land of the Valkyries.
And I'm bored, believe it or not. Flight? I'm bored sometimes. Yeah.
Or Flight. Something of the Valkyries.
Flight. If you look at craigsdeadpool.com.
Yes, you do.
You will notice that in our latest news category, Martha Stewart shows up as being dead. Now then.
Down in the hole we all go. That's what Snoof will say when she does.
Now, the Martha Stewart that we are familiar with is not dead.
No.
A Martha Stewart that had a bit of fame in the 40s and 50s did pass away, and we are counting her as famous enough. So when we say Martha Stewart has passed away, it is not the Martha Stewart that we are most familiar with.
Right.
The convict.
Right. Now, two players did have the actress Martha Stewart, Carnival Personnel, and Reaper McIntyre.
I love that name.
We've also got another couple of hits since Limbaugh with a Lawrence Ferlinghetti. He is a poet. Yep. And Carlos Menem.
Ferlinghetti was like 101, right?
Yes.
Okay.
102, maybe. It's tough to tell. Carlos Menem, he was the president of Venezuela for 10 years.
All right.
And a few other things. We'll allow that one. Four Bogey Dump, Cowers Free Time, and that white lady Karen had right. Carlos.
Yeah. Cool Whip
Bandit, Deadpool and in Deadwood, Old Jazz Man, Fatty LaPoma, Tubin for Tubin, and the kid Mike hit with a balloon all had Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Congratulations.
Two in a day.
That kid.
But.
Oh, did he have Rush, too, that dude?
Yeah.
That's who he was reading earlier.
That balloon helped. Knocked his brain silly.
However, the leaderboard does not change. Still, there is one player with six hits. Tyler's Tupperware Turd leading the league.
Only six? We thought it was seven.
No, it's six.
I know you thought
that. We keep thinking he's going to have seven.
We did correct this on the air earlier today.
Prince Philip's going to kick, and he'll have seven.
Right, we jumped the gun there.
Leading the five-hit league, it's Peanut Butter for Wego and Jim Abbott's non-throwing hand. And if either one of those two get a hit, they would take the lead.
A hit that the other guy doesn't have.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That Tyler's Tupperware Turd doesn't have.
No. And he's got everybody. And we said earlier, we don't know this. It's a very mysterious person.
Shannon Doherty was one that I was forgetting.
Oh, because she's too.
He's still got Prince Philip. Bernie Madoff, Shannon Doherty, and Beverly Cleary, outstanding on that list.
Yeah. I still think one of those makes it to the end of the year, but I do think he gets nine.
Probably, yeah. Right. I think he's got a damn good chance.
Yeah.
Well, he still has a chance to have seven 2 months into the year.
Right. He'll definitely have
crazy.
Seven. Yeah. Well, he said Prince Philip's being just staying in the hospital so they keep his keys away from him.
Right. Yes.
Because that guy with 7.7 drives better than Prince Philip.
So we've got that going on.
All right.
That's another thing. Don't you think once you hit about 80, they should start beginning to take a test again?
Yeah, I
would do that.
Oh, yeah. To keep your license?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would have. My dad was 86, and he was still driving at the end.
But he could have passed
a test. But would he have been offended if they made him take a test after 80 just to be sure?
He might have bitched, but he would have done it. You know, I mean, I would bitch. I mean, once you're told you have to do something and you still have your faculties, you probably do bitch, and I don't blame people for bitching. But he would have done it, and he definitely would have passed. You know, he was a pretty decent driver. I mean, when we rode together, when I was in town with him, I flew back in town. He didn't drive here, obviously. But when I was back in town, I always drive. We got in the car.
No, I may change my opinion on that.
Because he scared the hell out of me sometimes.
Once I turned 80.
But he also scared the hell out of me when he was also 60. So, you know, it doesn't really matter. Every time they offer that, here's the problem, Todd. And I think it's totally true. I think they should make people take it. But there are also people that are 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 35, 45 that shouldn't be on the road either.
Right.
And they're really, really bad. The problem is every time a legislature brings this up, those people vote. That age group votes, and they don't want to take that test over. I've been hearing that. That's pretty much the deal. They said, nope, we vote.
Well, they could make it a thing where it's like every 2 years, every 5 years.
Right.
That's not unreasonable. But they would be pissed.
Yeah. Well, that's a tough thing, learning how to take the keys away from an elderly parent, grandparent. You know, people do, you know. I mentioned, I told the story before, my dad's dad, he had a big old jalopy, one of the big steel cars. And he was probably pushing 90, maybe late 80s sometime. He got in the car and drove down the street and just ran into a telephone pole.
Ooh.
He didn't see it. And he called my dad and said, hey, go get the car. I'm done. He was done. He realized, oh, that wasn't cool, and I could hurt somebody. And he just said, take the car, get rid of it, and I'm not driving again.
I had a grandma that did the same thing.
Yeah, hit
she something. Got into an accident.
Now, luckily, nobody died, because sometimes that happens. People die, then they say, I'm done. Yeah, because you're arrested.
She was probably in her early 70s or so, but her, you know.
Oh, that's pretty young.
Yeah, but she was having problems with her health and stuff, and she just said, nah, I'm done.
I usually say I'm done when I'm about 7-7 on the alcohol content.
I'm done with everything.
I'm done. Don't drink and drive, kids.
Yeah, all Springsteen going in front of the judge today.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
For his drunk driving charges.
A lot of money, Lib Charge.
You're the boss, huh?
We'll find out more about that later on. Yeah,
way to go. Yeah, there's a lot of stories around that, but, you know, whatever. That's probably the second episode of the podcast with Barack Obama. How tuned up were you on the bike in the park?
Well, they might take
one
Obama.
Shot.
They might take Obama to the park. Have him do a couple of shots.
Yes,
see how the cops treat him.
They're probably the same way they treated Springsteen, exactly.
You think?
Wear a mask. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. TNTRadioEmpire.com for all the podcasts and stuff. Patronize the advertisers, please.
And join us for Judd Nelson tomorrow.
Yep.
And it was Argentina, not Venezuela, for Carlos Menem. Sorry.
Gotcha.
And Adong will phone the program tomorrow,
too. And Judd Nelson's Friday, not tomorrow.
All right.
Adong tomorrow.
Perfect.
We'll straighten this all out tomorrow.
Yeah. No, we won't.
We'll straighten Adong out tomorrow. All
right. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Hey, it's Todd and Tyler.
And thank you for listening to the podcast.
Please take a second to tell us how much you like the podcast.
And don't forget to comment.
Thanks again. On to the next podcast episode.